Stepping up sort of in the last minute here, I know you were probably called upon at the last minute, but you've had a great history and association with the WGA, and I'm sure you're probably pleased and honored to be here and be a part of this event.
Yeah, just came together a couple days ago, and I've got nothing but great memories from WGA, from playing in the Western Amateur, competing at the Western Open, the BMW Championship a few times. I've met a few. We live in Colorado now. I've met a few Evan Scholars along the way. There, and I know they've got a big presence at CU in Boulder. And so, you know, happy to be here and fun to be back in Chicago.
Did you ever play the Western Junior, or was your first Western event the Western Am?
First event was the Western Am, yes.
And tell us, you know, most guys work real hard and they never win it once, and you won it twice, and you're kind of in the middle of Phil, as you well know, and Tiger was right behind you. That's some great company there to be within that four-year window.
Yeah, it was fun, and actually I played Phil in the finals my first year, and for some unknown reason he beat me, but he just had a lucky day, I suppose. But it was, the Western Amateur was always, I mean, yeah, the Western Amateur and U.S. Amateur, and I mean, in a lot of circles, and Tiger and I have spoken about this, the Western Amateur we both thought was harder to win because of the format, four rounds of stroke play, it's a lot of golf. You know, at that time, the events were held each year at Point of Woods, a very special place and a special golf course. And, it just, you know, for amateur golf, it's a major championship and, always fun to compete.
I think we're just 2 years away from making a return to Point of Woods. And I understand that probably since you've won, they've taken out over 1,000 trees, so it probably looks a little different, but, any advice you'd have to these long hitters to go play a course like that and what that golf course is like?
Well, when I was playing, it needed a few trees removed. And I think that's part of the reason I had some success there. It was such an importance on putting the ball in the fairway and some very narrow shoots that you play from off the tees. I'm actually scheduled to work TV at the KitchenAid Senior PGA. My understanding is that some of the crew, we stay at Point of Woods. There's a lot of early evening golf that gets played amongst the crew. So I'm looking forward to getting back next May and seeing the place again.
The year that you somehow lost Phil, was that the year that Michael Jordan was there too?
I'm not sure of the exact, let's see, 25. It would have been 92 that he played.
Michael was there was the year Phil won.
It was
91. Okay, so 91. I remember him being there. I remember the excitement surrounding his appearance and his play. And, you know, as a college athlete, you're sitting there playing golf in the same field with Michael Jordan, seeing him on the driving range and everything. And I know it's hard to imagine, but he stuck out a little bit at that time. And it was just, it was incredible to be a part of that and to have him play. And I think, you know, a couple rounds in the low 80s, I think he did well for himself.
Tell us a little bit about just the caddy experience. You know, obviously the WGA, they're putting kids through college, caddies through college, and obviously throughout your career, you've probably got a great appreciation for caddies, especially one guy, I believe, that even had his roots here in Northwest Suburban Arlington Heights.
That's right. Bob Reifke caddied for me my first few years out on tour. It was funny, I kind of reconnected with John Singer, who caddied for me the two times that I won, with his dad, and I know he's a professor down at A&M. Just, it's incredible the opportunity that these young adults get to make their way through college, whereas normally it may not be in the realm of possibility, and to see the things that they're able to go out and do in the world. And, you know, from the sounds of it, they're giving back through the WGA and in their communities, and it's an organization like this that makes those things possible.
A few years back, I believe there was at least one national network did a feature something about how caddies were almost becoming extinct. And now we see places, Mike Kaiser's been responsive to some abandoned dunes, his Sand Valley place. There's more and more properties, Erin Hills, where people are walking now. It's walking only. And caddies are really coming back to the game and having more opportunities. Your just thoughts about how destination golf is incorporating the caddy again.
Walking should be part of the game. I know it's not available to everybody, but it's a part of the whole experience, and when you get somebody who can carry your bag and enhance that experience, whether it's through, you know, helping you understand the golf course, or maybe, you know, understand something about your own game, those kind of things. And seeing the excitement that these kids get, mostly in the summertime when they're out of school and things like that, and just the opportunities that they're afforded through that, whether it's contacts that they make, people that they make caddy for, or, you know, ultimately some kind of scholarship in the form of, or in the way that Evan Scholar and the WGA do. It's an incredible opportunity. And I think it's, like you said, it's interesting how the caddies kind of went away and now it seems to be coming back. And I know that, you know, some guys at Roaring Fork Club, they kind of get into their caddy and that's who they want when they play. And it's a way for these kids to earn money and to be around adults and to handle certain situations. And I'm sure there's a lot of life lessons that are learned through all of that.
Did you ever, while growing up, ever caddy?
No, I was too busy playing. I did help out at a couple of the tournaments. We would go out and four caddy at some of the member guests and things like that. But that's about all of my caddy experience outside of just caddying for friends and things like that in a couple of events.
I know that some players, we've seen them out with their sons or daughters as they get kids at play. I know your family, are your kids playing at all?
My boys are showing a little bit of interest. They're 11 and 7, so we haven't done anything to where I was needed to pick up the bag yet.
Can you share your favorite experience? I mean, obviously winning the Western Amateur twice is a fantastic WGA experience, but also then you came back and you played in some Western Opens and things. Do you have other than those two wins, do you have a favorite memory or experience from a WGA event, especially the Western Open?
You know, every Monday or Tuesday that I played the Western Open and going in and registering and things like that, just seeing familiar faces. I always felt like I had a little bit of advantage because I knew I had a lot of people pulling for me from my experience through the Western Amateur, those kind of things. You know, going back to the Western Amateur, the Sweet 16 dinner was really maybe outside of Thanksgiving and Christmas meals was one of the best dinners of the year because you're kind of exhausted, but you're also excited about what's to come. And it's a pretty elite group. I was on the drive here from the airport, I was looking through a list of all the Sweet 16, you know, finalists throughout the years. It's a very impressive list. And so to be a part of that for the 3 years that I played in the Western Amateur, and then to carry that experience into the Western Open, where I kind of felt like I was not one of the favorites, but I had a lot of support from my experience during the Western Amateur days.
In recent years, BMW has been a wonderful partner for the WGA and, you know, the playoff event and all. But there's a lot of locals and a lot of people, and even some players still tell us they miss the old Western Open. Would you love to see a Western Open somehow make its way back onto the PGA Tour schedule?
Well, I think a lot of us kind of feel like the BMW Championship is the Western Open. I love how it moves around and gets around to some great golf courses in the Midwest, even made its way out to Denver a few years ago. And I think that's because of that. It's one of the elite events, not only because where it is in the playoffs, but because it does move around. It goes to different golf courses, and you know, the list of champions that are on that BMW Championship, going back all the way through the Western Open. It's an amazing list. Sorry, I didn't get my name put upon that at some point. Just they were always special events to me, and they are to a lot of players. It's been good. I've got a great crew to work with, and I get a lot of advice along the way. So it's really a team atmosphere. Again, just the people that I get to work with, I'm able to stay involved with the game, a game that I really enjoy, and I feel like I can help kind of educate what a player's going through in certain moments on the golf course and during a round, and I enjoy that part of it. Yeah, it is a challenge. It's a learning process, figuring out what's relevant and what's not. Yeah. In my mind and to a viewer's mind, there's a lot more work that goes on the week of than I had ever imagined. I'm enjoying that part of it and learning. You know, at first I was trying to be an announcer or an analyst or what I thought one should be, and now I'm just trying to take my thoughts and the way I go about doing things and present them to our audience. And that's been a challenge, kind of figuring out my style and what I like to do, and I'm getting more comfortable with that each time that I work.
Is Tiger just teasing us all, or do you think he's actually got a chance to get back?
No, I don't think he's teasing us. I think he's probably going to give it one more go and see how his body holds up. I watched when he played last year at the Hero World Challenge, and I thought he's back. He looked physically good. He was swinging the ball well, swinging the club well. And then a month later, my guess is he got back into workout habits, and he was feeling good and kind of pushed it too much. And he was a different person in January than he was in December in the Bahamas. And so I'm hoping we see that same guy in the Bahamas leading the field in birdies and doing all those things, and then he can progress from there rather than regress.
Do you feel like you know him well? Do you guys have a good relationship?
I feel like I know him as well as most guys do.
Yeah. Yeah,
a pretty private person. But I love seeing how involved he is with some of the guys in Florida that he lives nearby, namely Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler and some of those guys. I love seeing him involved at a President's Cup and a Ryder Cup. I spoke to him at the President's Cup, and, you know, it was, even though I hadn't seen him in a while, it was like old times. And so I love seeing his enthusiasm for the game. I think we were all hoping we would see that, and the concern was that, you know, the golf and the physical part pushed aside, that he would kind of just, you know, go away, which he certainly has the opportunity and the right to do. The fact that he's stayed in it, he wants to be involved in those team events. I'm sure he wants to, in the back of his mind, he wants to play in those events. But let's take a few baby steps before we get there.
You mentioned some team events. How many people still come up and ask you about the big putt at the Ryder Cup? Hey, other than guys like us.
It comes up, it averages about once a week. Even, you know, what are we, 19 years later, 18 years later. It still comes up. Somebody says, here's where I was when that happened. And it's hard to imagine all the people that come up and said I was there. I don't think there were 70,000 people on that golf course. But that's what it seems like. But it's hardly a week goes by where somebody doesn't mention it in some way.
On a night like tonight, when the focus is a little bit on caddies, and you've seen caddies come and go, were you amazed at how much attention some player caddy breakups got this summer, especially in the case of Phil and Bones and Rory and his caddy?
Well, I think it shows, not really surprised, because it's really it's more of a relationship than a lot of people give credit for. I think the caddies, in certain instances, really provide a lot for players. And I think in the case of Phil and Bones, it's, you know, those two just, you always saw them together. You thought they were always going to be together. And I'm grateful that they did split up, because now he's a colleague of ours at NBC. And he's brought his knowledge and his stories and everything he has. Now he can share it with the entire viewing audience rather than just sharing it with Phil, and we catch little snippets. But it's an important relationship, and I've had maybe, you know, any long, I had about three or four kind of five-year stints with caddies, and it's amazing how close you are. You know, when you're spending 7 or 8 hours a day with somebody, you're going to get pretty close. And so those relationships, I think, go beyond what a lot of people might think they do.
I think our local paper even had a picture. You stood up in, I believe, Bob's wedding.
Yes,
here.
I did.
Yeah, because there's a wedding calendar. There's photos and groups, and it listed you as, I don't know, one of the people in his
groomsmen. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's they're close relationships, and again, certain players rely on them more than others for certain things, but. A great caddy can really, that's why I enjoy seeing a younger player with more of a veteran caddy, because they can help with golf courses. They've seen situations in the professional game that you can't prepare for. And so they can help younger players through those situations. And caddies, again, are extremely important for not only professional golfers, but amateurs playing at the Western Amateur and things like that.
Talk about the tour as you see it now, and obviously about a year from now or so, the new schedule will be kicking in, PGA moving up, playoffs moving up. How do you see that all shaken out for golf?
I think it's good. I think, you know, the playoffs going up against the NFL, nothing's going to work against the NFL. And so trying to get the playoffs into August, moving up the Players' Championship, I think, was pretty natural. Getting it back with the Florida swing. The PGA Championship, I think, is going to have or face the most change in that there's some golf courses that they're not going to be able to go to May versus August, but also open a few up in the South. And so that will probably go through the most change. And it seems pretty natural. The golf season is such a long season. And there will still be tournaments in the fall and those things. But to get the bulk of the season finished before you get to college football and the NFL, I think makes a lot of sense.
Can you talk about your view on Chicago as a golf market? So if you could just talk about your views on Chicago as a golf market and the courses that are here and how good the market is for tournament play.
I really enjoy the courses I play here in Chicago. The one I haven't gotten to play, Chicago Golf Club, one of these trips, I'll bring my clubs and get out there and see it. But playing Medina for a number of championships, playing at Cog Hill, obviously. I got to play a couple rounds at Butler National a few years ago. And then all the courses that the BMW utilizes in this area. It's along with New York. You can go and drive blindly to a golf course, and it may be one of the best courses you ever played. And I feel like Chicago is the same way. There's so many great golf courses and great architecture in this area. It's tough to hit them all, but it's if you live here and have some access, it's a great opportunity.